just were all hacking away with allergies or whatever. Because of who it came from. Sometimes called the Magna Carta of Christianity, primarily dealing with character. Lessons of Jesus and recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And in the midst of this group of sermons, or in the midst of these discourses, we find an interesting statement that is made in the 5th chapter in the 20th verse, where Jesus said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." First of all, let's identify some things in the passage. First of all, he refers to the Pharisees, which were a group of Jews during the time of Jesus. In fact, it was a sect unknown in the Old Testament, but mentioned 99 times in the New Testament and 89 times in the Gospels. Actually, the sect of the Pharisees was a group of Jews that developed during the time period, 400-year time period, between the Testaments. At that time, the Jews came under a great deal of influence of Greek culture. Their Old Testament was translated into the Septuagint version, the Greek version. And because of this great influence of Greek culture, there were some who were influenced by it. And thus there developed a group of Jews that were known as the Hellenists. I guess we might call them in common time the liberals. And therefore, as a result of that, in order to combat the views and beliefs of the Hellenists, we find there was a group of Jews then known as the Pharisees who were wanting people to strictly go by the law. That was the original goal and intent of the Pharisees. And the word Pharisee actually means separated one, and they're first noted somewhere between 135 and 105 B.C. And the Pharisees actually started out in a rather noble fashion as a desire, out of a desire to, like I said, to strictly go by the law of Moses. But unfortunately, over a period of time, they began not only to bind the law, but they began to bind their own tradition. Jesus referred to the fact that they would lay heavy burdens upon people, binding the tradition of the elders. And during Jesus' day, there were about 6,000 Pharisees. And they were, of course, very zealous enemies of Jesus. They wanted him to die. And thus we have to appreciate the statement made by Jesus that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And then there is another word in the text. He uses the word righteousness. Basically, the root word means to be right. And it is used in several different ways in the New Testament. For example, in the book of Romans, the first chapter, Paul uses it in verses 16 and 17 with regard to the plan of God to make man right with Him. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Thus God has a plan by which He can make man right with Him. That is, free him from sin and pardon him from the guilt of sin. Thus we also notice that sometimes the word righteousness may be used with regard to the state of being right with God. And of course this primarily is upon the basis of the atonement of Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 21, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, Paul says, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Therefore, man can be right with God through the atonement and blood of Jesus. That is, he can be right with God through the blood of Jesus when he is willing to submit to the terms and conditions of the gospel. And thus we notice that in James, the second chapter, in a very familiar passage to most of us, when James talks about the matter of faith, and the matter that this faith, just faith that justifies, is an act of obedient faith, he says in verses 22 and 23, "Do you see that faith was working together with works, and by works with faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." Therefore, a man can stand right before God, not because he can boast and say, "I kept your law perfectly," but rather he stands right before God, number one, upon the basis of the atonement of Christ, and because of that atonement, and his obedient faith, receiving that atonement, he is viewed as being right before God, the state of being right. Sometimes the word righteousness is used with reference to the standard. On Mars Hill in the 17th chapter of Acts, we find that Paul refers to the final day of judgment. And in verse 31 it says, "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained." The time is coming when God is going to judge all mankind, and the standard by which man will be judged is righteousness. That is, his righteous law or his righteous commandments. Sometimes the word is used with regard to our conduct. And I